reading to you from the fourth chapter of James, and with a third verse. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, that's what I've been doing all these years. And dear friends, I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting than to get up in the morning and say, Lord, here am I, send me. There's so many people out there who need help. Yes, from little old insignificant you and me. That's right. We have the word, we have the answer. Any problem that you're facing today, we can find the answer in the Word of God. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for half an hour. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax and pour you a glass of iced tea. Well, it might be a little cold for iced tea. Let's drink some coffee or hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the first book, 1 Peter, the first chapter. Let's begin reading in the 6th verse. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, believe in him, you greatly rejoice with full, inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I've labeled this message tonight, Why Christians Have Trials. And I am sure that there are many listening to my voice tonight says, oh boy, I want to check that out because something is not going right in my life. Well, first of all, Peter praises the Lord. And you know, friends, you know those people who praise the Lord for this, praise the Lord for that. Sometimes it's just empty words, but sometimes it really means something. My stars in the morning. Every time I have the opportunity of introducing a soul to Christ, I praise him because, you know what? We're doing something that the angels can't do. The angels can't tell a lost man or a woman how to be saved, but you can. I recall one morning our church was having a prayer breakfast in our home for the men. And after the breakfast, there was a man come up to me and introduced himself and told me that he said, I'd like to talk to you for a while. And I says, all right. And so we went upstairs and sat down in the living room, and he began to cry. Well, he told me, I'm an alcoholic. He said, I've tried everything. I'm a Jehovah's Witness and all this. So I shared Jesus with him, and he said, you've been through this. I said, I sure have, my friend. And I said, there's a way out. But I said, there's only one way out that I know of. And he said, what's that? And I said, Jesus. You can go to AA, you can take pills, you can go to psychiatrist, psychologist, you can do all those things, but they're never going to do what Jesus can do for you. And, you know, old Harold and I knelt there in that living room, and I help Harold pray that sinner's prayer. And he wept like a baby. Oh, friends, what a change happened in his life. And I was privileged to preach his funeral. And I told a whole bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses what had happened to Harold. The Bible tells us in the third verse, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you notice in the fourth verse? To a lasting inheritance, to obtain inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, my stars in the morning. Tonight, listen, friend, if you're not sure where you're going to go when you die, let me tell you, the answer is in Jesus. Listen to that. You can obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you go to a fancy restaurant, you call in and you make reservations, and when you get there, they open that little book, and sure enough, you've made a reservation for dinner for four and on. Well, he does that for us in heaven. His longings for final reward in the sixth verse, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, on a more sober note, Peter warns there may be tough times ahead. He wants his readers to be prepared for them. Hey, listen, friends, and I'm sure you get tired of me mentioning the namers and claimers that tell you that if you give your heart to Jesus, you'll never have any more sickness. You'll always be wealthy, yakety yakety yak. And these are all lies. Peter said, you are going to have them. You say, well, if that's the case, I don't want to be a Christian. You're going to have trials and tribulations whether you're a Christian or not. Well, what can we learn from Peter's warning? Well, first of all, Christians may have trials, heaviness through manifold temptations. Rejoicing is normal for us, but testing time may cause discouragement. Somebody listening to this broadcast tonight have become so discouraged, so disheartened, so down that you don't think you can even look up. Well, Peter's trying to tell you what you got to do. We should remember these times are only temporary. They're not forever and ever and ever. I remember when I had my first heart attack. I want you to know, my friends, that was no joke. I was in the hospital, and let me tell you a praise the Lord joy that happened to me when I was in the hospital. I received a long-distance phone call from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And this voice said, Mo, this is Admiral L.J. Alexanderson. I said, sir, how come you calling me? Well, he said, I felt a need to call you. And so I called your wife, and she said you were in the hospital with a heart attack. And he said, well, Cecil, we love you, and we're pulling for you, and this and that. Now get this, friends, get this. Three years later, I had the privilege and honor of introducing my admiral and his wife to Jesus, and today both of them are in heaven. Oh, my friends, had it not been for a trial, maybe he would not have called. I'm sure that he called me because God must have led him to do it. You say God don't lead lost people. Sure does. But you know, if you want to really enjoy the fellowship of the Lord, come on in. Give your heart to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins. And I'll tell you right now, he'll do something for you. Some Christians thought they were through with trials after they accepted Christ. But friends, that's not true. And Peter gave it to us straight. He said, you're going to have them. Don't you sweat. You're going to have them. They thought faith in Christ would keep them from trials. They thought the gospel train was a gravy train. And then guess what happened? Reality arrived. In this world we have trouble. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Not only has he overcome the world, he overcome death and hell. That's what he did. You know, beloved, if he had not arose from the grave the third day, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about at night. I wouldn't even be on the radio because we'd have no joy, no peace. But he arose. He conquered death and hell. And he stands at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I right now. You've got a problem, he's going to work it out for you if you'll let him. Now, a lot of us Christians, we're so bullheaded, and I'm speaking for myself too, we think we can figure it out ourselves, but boy, you're going to get yourself in a whole heap of hurt if you try to work it out without him. Christians may have trials related to their faith. Now, verse 7 it says, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. Christians may have trials related to their faith, and that's exactly what he said is going to happen. How well Peter knew this. Jesus had revealed his coming death on the cross. Jesus had warned him to expect rejection by the world. Oh, listen. Peter has already experienced persecution for his faith, and Paul knew about these trials. Imprisonment, stone, shipwreck, you name it, he had experienced it, you know. Stephen knew about these trials. You know what he did? He got up there before those Jews and he told them what they'd done. They'd crucified Christ. And they screamed and they tore their clothes. And guess what they did? They picked up big rocks and they stoned him to death. If Stephen had shut his mouth and had not preached, he would have lived. But Stephen wanted to die for Jesus. He was the first martyr in the New Testament. But he died with faith in Christ. Oh, and the Saul of Tarsus was holding his coat. And he saw how a Christian can die. James knew about these trials. Finally, he also died for his faith. Christians have such trials down through the centuries. Those who suffer for their faith are in good company. You know, folks, Christians may be triumph in trials through their Savior. In verse 8 it said, and though you have not seen him and love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Friends, in trials our faith in Christ has been perfected. It is like gold being purified by fire. My, can you believe that? The return of Christ will reveal our faith is real. Oh, there's so many scoffers out there today. Say, oh, yeah, Jesus. I've even heard Christians. They claim to be Christians. I don't know what they were, but they said, oh, I don't believe Jesus is coming back. Boy, howdy, I do. He's coming back. And friends, listen, I wouldn't set a date. I'd be the biggest phony if I did. And those who set dates are phonies. They really are, because the Bible said only God the Father knows the time when Jesus will come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. We're going to hear a trump sound, and all of a sudden, Jesus will appear on a cloud in glory with outstretched arms, saying, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, my friends, just think of it. He's going to do that for you. He's going to do it for me. Our trials are only temporary. Come on. Our rewards for faithfulness is all eternal, forever and forever. Listen, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews 13:5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself, he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake thee. Don't you remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Here they were, thrown in that crazy fire. And there was three of them, but all of a sudden they looked and said, holy mackerel, there's four in there. Well, who was it? It was Jesus. You know, friends, those three boys were not afraid to go in that fire. Why? Because they knew that God would be there. Remember when little David took on Goliath? Hey, listen, you talk about a little bitty old teenage boy and a great big 9-foot-something giant. And all he had was a little old thing that threw around his head into the rock, and bingo, that sling hit that old Goliath right twixt the horns. And he killed him deader than a net. Why was that? Because God was with him. Friends, listen, I don't know what God wants for you today. I don't know. I mean, he might be calling you for something special. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's calling you to be a preacher or a deacon, or maybe he's calling you to be a missionary, whatever it is. And you're scared out of your skin. Oh, I was there one time when God called me to preach. on that roof in Seattle, Washington. Why in the world would God take a dummy like me that can't read and write, didn't have an education, only just high school, little business college, that's all I had. But you see, God knew me. He knew me in my mother's womb. And he knew what I would be able to do with him. Now, if I did it on my own, I'd fail. There's a lot of preachers who try to preach on their own. Oh boy, that'll get you in a whole lot of trouble. But if you lean on him, don't you remember Daniel? When they told him, you pray to no other God, well, that just set old Daniel off. He went and pulled the curtains back on his window and he bowed on his knees toward Jerusalem and he prayed. And boy, how did they throw him in the lion's den. But oh, he had a good night's rest. He said that mane was so soft. And that king, what a testimony to that king. Oh, King Darius lived forever. And you know, they made him one of the greatest men in that country. Yes, God knew what that in the fiery furnace. He knew the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was how they'd handle it. And he knew how Daniel was going to handle it. And you know, the Bible tells us his grace is sufficient in every trial. I read in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Well, listen, let me ask you, friend, tonight, please answer me. Are you experiencing some real trials? You said, oh, Cecil, I'm just about to cry. Sure you are. I have been many trials. This sugar diabetes has given me lots of trouble and a couple of heart attacks, and I've had lots of problems. But, oh, beloved, listen. I can lean on Jesus because he said he would give us the strength and he'd give us the power. And even in weakness, we are powerful in the Lord. God will meet you in your trials and enrich your faith. Well, if I just say this tonight, thank God for trials that bring you closer to him. Yes, why Christians have trials. But Peter told us how to handle it tonight, beloved. If you're going through some real deep water, maybe you've lost a loved one, or maybe you're losing your house, or maybe you're just financially strapped, and you're beside yourself, and you don't understand why God are letting you go through that. Because he's given you strength. He's strengthened your faith. He knows what you're made of. He does. He knows that you're not going to fail him during this trial. In fact, the matter is, let's talk to him right now. Father in heaven, for this dear brother, this dear sister who's experiencing some real trials tonight, would you bless them? Oh God, wrap your arms of love around them and draw them to your bleeding side. Let them know, Lord, that this is God's holy, unerring word. And that's why we have these messages, so it encourages us during these trying times. Father, I pray that whatever their needs might be, whether it be healing or whether it be salvation or whatever, I pray you will give it to him tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, Cecil, let me tell you a little story. You know, I am really lost. I honestly thought I was going to heaven. I really did. And then one night I had the most strange feeling or tugging or something at my heart, and I knew something was wrong. Well, if you haven't taken care of it, do you want to take care of it now? You say, Cecil, I'd like to know Jesus, okay? If you truly would like to know Jesus, bow your head to me right now. And please, beloved, do not pray this unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done to you, my family, my loved ones. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I'd sure love to talk to you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air, and I sure won't embarrass you. And I guarantee I won't write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church or if you go to church. I'm concerned about your soul, where you're going to spend eternity. So if you feel I can help you spiritually, won't you get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. Oh, beloved, I care. God loves you, and I love you. So I'm waiting for your call right now. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, beloved, for listening again. Keep your eyes on Jesus, hear songs, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look upon his beautiful face. Well, listen, I'd love to hear from you. If I can help you spiritually, please let me know. I want you to continue to pray for my health and my wife's health, and our women's work, that we'll start getting our grant real soon so we can start building and start helping many, many women who really need the Lord. And I have an unspoken prayer. You please pray for that for me. And I tell you, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.